small amount of the tajalli of the arsh, the throne of Allah. It was told, drop. Not drop on Musa al-Islam, because Musa al-Islam would have been then destroyed. But drop on that spot near where he is standing, which Allah said, look at that mountain. I will show you who I am. If the mountain can hold my power, then you will see me. So it was not the beauty of Allah that fell, it was the arsh of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that made one spark of its power and might. The throne of Allah. And a small amount which Ka'b Ahbar explains. And as it hit, which Quran says, فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ. And when Allah put His tajalli on the mountain, جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى. It just broke into pieces. وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقَى. Nabi Musa a.s. fell down unconscious. Certain narrations have shown his soul actually came out. Angels were told to hold his body to manage. And after the entire thing happened, then the soul was returned. As the soul was returned, the first word Musa alayhi salam, he said, Subhanaka Allah, you are pure. Meaning, I will never ever ask to do such a thing again. But you are pure. How can your beauty be ever asked to be shown in this world, your own zat? Tawbatu ilayka, O Allah, I have made tawbah. I submit, O Allah, never again. But now look at the kamal of Hazrat Qari Sahib's mind. That the entire incident is in front of us. But if I have to ask you what tajalli was falling at that time, the most we will say is a tajalli, a waterfall of the anger of Allah. But with what mind he looked at it? He said that the tajalli that fell on Makkah Mukarramah, the house of Allah, was jamal, beauty. And the tajalli on Aqsa was jalal, power. The tajalli that fell on the land of Tur, Gaza, was a tajalli of defense. What is known as dafa. Because Musa a.s. wished to come close to Allah. The angels were sent to push him away. That don't ever think of walking towards this route ever again in your life. This is something that you can't ask for in this world. Don't come near here. The angels were not told to attack him. They were all told to push him away. Move, move. Which he says, one quality of Allah is ad-dafi' al-mani', that zat which pushes away. A tajalli of defense. And he says, how amazing it has been that throughout history, whoever will read the books of war will understand that whichever people were born in this area around Mount Tur, they were always the most severest in defending their land. And then he explains in the time of, he gives different examples. One easy example for us to understand. The two kitabs are famous in the English language, Futuhu Sham and Futuhu Misr. The conquest of what is known as Sham and the conquest of Egypt. Any person who reads the conquest of Sham, he will read it and how the Sahaba spread. And how they destroyed the Roman Empire, which was a mighty empire. But when you look how many Sahaba radiallahu anhu passed away, you won't find much. But when they lent to the land of Egypt, which was not a mighty superpower of the world, but when you will read that waqiyas in that book, you will see how many Sahaba, great Sahaba, gave their lives until finally that land gave up. He says the people of that land throughout history, whenever the Muslims needed attacking armies, the army would be sent from the land of Sham. But whenever the enemy would attack, it would be found that the soldiers of this area, they would always be the one to drive out the enemy. And how amazing it is at the present moment, where the whole world has given in to the firepower of America and Britain, and Israel is the most strongest. And the whole land of Sham has given in, surrendered. But one small land, Gaza, stands out. They have no weapons, they have no might. They have spaceships coming over, bombers coming over. They have things which are unmanned, they have things which are manned. They have patrollers going into. Every day they are being bombed. But what has been given in those people that they are the defense for the world of Islam? That small group there is every time when the enemy attacks pushing them out. How did they get that? Hazrat Qari Sahib, that time when he wrote the book, said this is the land that will protect the entire world. And he wrote they will protect the world from what? He explained if the land of Gaza is destroyed and the enemy managed to take over it, then there will be nothing stopping them from the land of Aqsa. But as long as they cannot break through Gaza, although Gaza and Aqsa are not next to each other, they are far different, far away. As I told you, this is on Egypt's side. This is in the land of Sham.
People who will go to Masjid Al-Aqsa will not even see Gaza. He explained, as long as they don't break through here, they will not get the seat of power. As long as they will not get the seat of power, they will not get complete rule in the world. The eye will not come on Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Munawwara, because that's not the land of rule. The eye will be on Masjid Al-Aqsa and on the land of Gaza. How amazing, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam then told his ummah something else. Where Dajjal told the people he met, two places I will never go to: Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara. Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wasallam told his ummah two other places Dajjal will never manage to take over, which Imam Ahmad has mentioned in his Musnad, which ulama have mentioned with sound sanads, meaning couple of ahadith, and each one is called sahih, sahih, sahih. Two other places, the lands of Tajalli. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Aqsa, Dajjal will never manage to get. And he said, Mount Tur, Dajjal will never manage to get. Gaza. The power of that place, inshallah, as I understand, that the present enemies which are attacking, Jewish enemies, are nothing but what is mentioned in the hadith, Dajjal himself. The power of Dajjal, army of Dajjal. And how I understand the hadith to mean that, inshallah, till the ending, you will find Gaza will carry on pushing them out. No matter what attacks they will make, somehow or the other will push them out. Forget that Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned in the time of Isa alayhi salam, when he will come down and the Ya'juj Ma'juj will spread out in the world, and Nabi Isa alayhi salam will tell the Muslims, all of you will go to your forts, because we can't fight this force anymore. This force is too strong. Then Nabi Isa alayhi salam, where will he take the Muslims? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Isa alayhi salam will take the Muslims back to Mount Tur. Because a place to defend is the mountain of Mount Tur. What a tajalli of defense fell, and what became Mount Tur. Till the time of Ya'juj Ma'juj, it will remain a land of defense. Pushing out the enemy, pushing out the enemy. Hazrat Qari Sahib explained three tajalliyat. The bayan started at about 10 to, inshallah, I'll speak for another 10 minutes. Inshallah, we'll bring it to an end. Hazrat Qari Sahib spoke about three tajalliyats. After the three tajalliyats, because his eye was on Wattini, Wat Zaytun, Wat Turi Sinin, Wa Hadha Al-Baladi Al-Amin. But obviously there is a fourth tajalli which is clear. For whichever reason he did not make mention, or maybe at the end of his book he did make mention, I have not yet reached there. But there is a fourth tajalli of Allah Paak that fell. Makkah, Mukarramah, Kaaba's tajalli was from the beginning of time till the ending of time. And because it was 40 years before Aqsa's tajalli, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said the status of the house of Allah is such that if you perform your salah there, Allah will give you the reward of 100,000 salas. But when it came 40 years later to Masjid Al-Aqsa, which is also getting tajalli, he explained, if you perform your salah in Masjid Al-Aqsa, Allah will give you 1,000 salah. Lot also, but it will never equal to Makkah Mukarramah. Because 40 years difference of tajalliyat. Then the tajalli of Gaza, which we explained, was only for a short time. It wasn't forever. But that short time had such an effect. But thereafter, one more tajalli was going to open in the world. And this tajalli was going to be a unique tajalli for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How we understand this tajalli? We will see wherever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned two masjids. The Kaaba, meaning he calls it Masjidul Haram. And Aqsa, which is called Masjidul Aqsa. Then always in between he will mention my masjid. Masjid of Medina Munawwara. He says, if you perform salah in Makkah Mukarramah, the reward is so much. He says, then if you perform salah in my masjid, and then if you perform salah in Aqsa. When he explained Dajjal will never go, he explained Makkah Mukarramah, he explained Aqsa, he explained Gaza, he said, my masjid also Dajjal will never enter. When he explained, if you're ever going to make a safar, a very lengthy safar, difficult safar, he said, make a safar for salah to Makkah Mukarramah, to my masjid, to Masjid Aqsa. Wherever the two were mentioned, he put his masjid in between also. But the question comes that on which place of his masjid did Allah's tajalli start falling, and what type of tajalli? And according to that tajalli, what effects did it create on the people around? So when I went there, I was looking that where did the tajalli of Allah fall? In Masjid Nabawi. And my mind was most likely on what is known as the garden, from the gardens of Jannah, where everyone is fighting. But when I went there, there was something else that was pulling me, which was not that garden. Which we all know, when we go to Masjid Nabawi, The garden is in the back of our mind, but what's in the front of our mind? To stand in front of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it came in my mind that the tajalli which fell on Makkah Mukarramah was a tajalli which fell on a thing. And it had to be so strong to hold it, it was the Hajar-e-Aswad and the Rukn-e-Yamani of the Jannah. The tajalli which fell on Masjid-e-Aqsa was a rock which was sent from Jannah on which the dome of the rock is built. Strong. But it came in my mind that the tajalli of Allah, if it is falling on the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this heart is not a heart of Jannah. How is it that a man's heart can hold it? And while there, then Allah tabaraka ta'ala opened this up which I am now mentioning. And inshallah it will take about 10 minutes. Immediately the thought came to my mind that before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken for Mi'raj, Jibreel alayhi salam and Mikael alayhi salam came down. And they cut open his chest. They took out his heart. They brought with them plates from Jannah filled with Iman and wisdom. They washed that heart. After that, the body of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam became different from our bodies. In that night, he was able to travel at unique speed from one land to another land. After that, he was able to travel where mortal people like us can never travel. He was taken into Jannah. He was taken into Jahannam, which man's eyes can never see. Jannah is too huge, too great. Jahannam is too scary. But his body managed. He was shown things which man will never be shown, and the heart was managing. Certain historians mention the heart was shown so powerful on that night that a certain time came when Jibreel alayhi salam himself said, "O Allah's messenger, that now you will go forward ahead. This is my last point. That if I have to come forward also, I will be burnt with that tajalli which will fall." The power of that heart on that night became such. When Nabi Musa alayhi salam was now blessed with kalam directly, without Jibreel alayhi salam, on that night we hear in the Quran and in the ahadith that Allah tabaraka ta'ala spoke directly to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was no Jibreel alayhi salam in between. That the tajalli of kalam which Musa alayhi salam got fell, the heart held it. فَأُوحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أُوحَى. Allah sent to his servant what he sent. What the effect it had in his ummah when he came down. Sahaba radiallahu anhu sat around him, they became the best reciters of Quran in the world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Aisha radiallahu anha, "You late, where are you coming from?" She said, "I was standing and listening to the Quran of someone, I was amazed, so beautiful." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard, he said, "I thank Allah that in my ummah he has made people read Quran so beautifully." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listened to Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu's voice. He said, "You have been given a flute from the flutes of Dawud alayhi salam. Your voice is so beautiful." It was what was coming out of his heart was affecting his sahaba. He said, "Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, read Quran." He said, "How can I read Quran? It was revealed on you." He said, "Read." He said, "I began reading." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started crying. Sahaba radiallahu anhu's tongues were then affected with that waterfall which was now coming. The tajalli of kalam hit his heart and it was now going. And until today, the ummah, when they get beautiful tongues to recite Quran, then it is my understanding that it is coming from the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and spreading in his ummah. A tajalli of ilm was going to hit Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he became the greatest man of knowledge in the entire world. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I was blessed with the knowledge of the beginning and the ending." And he explained it also in a manner of tajalli. Where he explained, a certain time came where Allah asked me, "O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are the angels discussing? What are the angels discussing? Where will he..."